I've got a few vignettes for you that I think can be construed as scary. In 1994, my personality did a 180 from outgoing, fun, from what I've heard, likable person to a black mood that was seemed to me to be pretty endless. And not long after that, was diagnosed with an inoperable brain tumor. And yeah, the mood. This is not as funny as the other one. But it never seemed to me that that was something that I should be afraid of, or that was scary, because it just seemed that I would get through it, and it wouldn't be something that was debilitating, or even as my left side was becoming less than controllable, it just seemed that something I'd get through. And there was sort of this strange clarity, but I knew I was in trouble when I was seeing halves of people cross the street and not being able to control my left side. And after 13 recurrences and basically being in pretty bad shape for a while, I did get through it. And I wish I could tell you that it was scary, but it wasn't. It was amazingly clear and just one of those things that people just do. I never felt like I had a choice. And on the heels of that, and as a 16-year-old hiker in Wyoming, I was on a trip in the Wind Rivers in Wyoming for a month. The tail end of that trip, a bigger group splits off into smaller groups and gets to the final destination without trying to fast and do what you have to do without what you need to do it. And unbeknownst to us, there was two forest fires that was coming, descending upon our route that was getting to the final destination. And after an entire day of sprinting from 11,000 feet down to flat land, we did get through it. And once we were rescued, these firefighters basically said, "How did you get through this? You're really lucky to be here." And we just kind of looked at each other, and the five of us that just did it, it was weird. It was just, there was never a component like we had a choice. It's just something that we did. Human nature, just continue. In the year 2000, my family and I went to Costa Rica to celebrate my father's 60th birthday, and when the plane we were traveling in lost power and crashed, again, it was amazingly clear. There was no point where I said, "Holy shit, we're crashing." But I guess we kind of get desensitized to this stuff with Hollywood. They couldn't have done it better. We lost power, 1,000 maybe more feet. Smacked right into the trees, the wings were sheared off, we caught fire, we hit the ground. And I looked up immediately afterwards, my first thought was, "I'm not hurt." And I looked down, my bag with my sketchbook was still there, very important. Everybody seemed to still be mobile at that point. And the next thought through my head was, "I gotta get these people out of here." And there was fire on both sides of the plane, and my wife was struggling with the door. Her shoulder had been banged into the door to the point where it had smashed the mechanism that opens the door. And I guess I just had one of those little Incredible Hulk moments, and yes, they do happen. And I opened the door, and all these flames and everything came in, and as I'm pulling my mom out of the plane, whose back was broken, her hips were shattered, ankle was gone. It was just one of those things where I think if fear could have been infused to the moment, it would have been there. As I'm looking down at my mom, as I'm pulling her out of the plane, and my wife's trying to get an angle where she can help, and the plane's burning, and it's just mayhem. I wish I could tell you I was scared, but I can't. It was just a very strange moment. when I first met my wife as well, I guess 97 or 98, we thought it would be a great idea the way we could test our durability as a couple. And we attempted a walk, a 3-month walk the length of Madagascar. From we figured if you're gonna go big. And so we flew to the northern tip of Madagascar and walked what ended up 350 trail miles in 2 months. And in our most isolated location, both got malaria. And as Eliza basically passes out from the fever, and I'm sitting there going, fuck, what am I going to do? Again, I think if it was going to be a component of fear, it would have entered there. But it was just one of those people, and I'm not tooting any kind of heroic horn here. I'm just saying that it seems that in times of utter complete chaos, where one can be terrified, sometimes it doesn't happen. You just do what needs to get done. And so I sprinted up to the next village, and of course there was nobody who spoke English or even French at that point. And I communicated that there was something wrong with my wife. And ran back, not knowing whether there was any communication at all, back to her and got her settled. And I was fiddling with the stove, trying to get something to eat. And as night fell, I heard some rustling in the foliage, and the villagers had come, and the elders were right out of eye shot, basically just watching, making sure everything was okay. And not long after that, a ox cart came and took us back to the village, wrapped her up, and brought her back and nursed her until morning. And then we got her to a clinic. And I guess the point of these little vignettes is that I wasn't scared. There was no fear. But what I've always had a fear of, I guess, is when I look back on it, is a fear of normalcy, the mundane, the day-to-day. And my wife will attest to this. I don't open mail. I'm terrified. It's horrible. It's true. I look at these horrible little envelopes, and I panic. It's like impending doom right there on the stand. BG&E, you're gonna die. That's what I feel. It's very strange. And when I launched into doing my art full time, that was the ultimate fuck you to the day to day. The way to not have the way to have a life less ordinary. And now, having put that life in hibernation for a bit, I wouldn't trade it for the world. But I don't know if I'll ever go back, either. But this day-to-day stuff, day jobs and all that, it's terrifying. But I'm going to do it.